We come in the name of Him who is inside us, who makes His home in our hearts by faith. We come in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite you, if you would like to turn to our text, a reading from Matthew chapter 18, and then also have Life at Holy Cross handy. I'd like to give you a couple of other references in just a second. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you're a visitor with us this evening and do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word throughout the week. This lesson is one that God felt important enough to write in three of the Gospels. It's an important lesson for the disciples, an important lesson for you and for me. The lesson for this evening, as Pastor read it, is recorded, of course, here in Matthew chapter 18, but jot down in Life at Holy Cross, maybe on the front or the back page someplace, so that you can remember it. It's written also in Mark chapter 9 and also in Luke chapter 9. Now, there's some interesting variances in those readings in Matthew 18, Mark 9, and Luke 9. So even if you don't usually take my suggestion, I'd like for you to read those sections maybe later on this evening to see how they differ from one another. As we hear in tonight's lesson, God is calling the early disciples, the 12, and many others who followed Jesus, and Jesus is calling us to have faith like a child. It was a message that Jesus taught in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it's very interesting to note that Jesus taught that very same lesson, or one very similar to it, in the end of His earthly ministry. I'm going to take my Bible and look at Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, we have that section of Scripture where Jesus is ready with the Last Supper. In Luke 22, verse 24, it says, "Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest." Jesus teaches them in Matthew 18 and Mark 9 and Luke 9, and then at the very end of His earthly ministry, He's about to be betrayed, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins and yours and mine and the whole world, and the same thing crops up. Who is the greatest among us? Well, from our text tonight in Matthew chapter 18, it begins at that time. Well, at what time? Matthew chapter 17 reminds us at the tail end that Jesus has come to this beautiful city, this beautiful seaside village called Capernaum. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I've seen Capernaum from the Sea of Galilee. Having been on a small boat on the Sea of Galilee, you can see in the distance, like you can in this image, the little seaside village of Capernaum. Beautiful flowers. It's a tropical place, a gorgeous place. Well, Jesus and His disciples had made their way to Capernaum. And as they came to Capernaum, they came to a house. And as they came into the house, Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew, and that's why He asked, "What was it that you were talking about on the road, on the way?" And they had to admit to Him that they had been talking along the way about who was the greatest. Was it this one or that one? Or what have I done? Or what have you done? Or what's he done? That they should be considered the great, greatest, the best, the most perfect of the apostles, the followers of Jesus. Jesus knew what they needed to hear, and that's why Jesus asked the question. And that's why it was so important that they center on who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, I'm sure they had their own imaginations, their own thoughts. By doing this or leading in that way or preaching or teaching or telling or traveling or giving up this or that, certainly I must be the greatest. I must be considered one of the greatest. Look at all I've done. Look at all I've given up. Jesus knew that's not what it meant to be the greatest. And Jesus, the master teacher, decided to teach them in a way that they hopefully would remember. And for us, I hope we remember as well. What Jesus did is to look among the people who were listening to him, and Jesus pointed out the children. What we read in the other Gospels is that Jesus did what a rabbi, what a teacher often did. When it came time to teach and to tell others what they should know and what they should remember, Jesus, the rabbi, took a chair. See, when the rabbis were going to teach, when they had something important to say, they would sit so that the people would be able to listen to what it was they were preaching and teaching. Jesus sat down and he asked them to look at the children who were nearby. Savannah, could you come up and help me now? Jesus pointed out one of the children, called that child to himself, and what our text says is, in the midst of them all, he had this child stand. Come on over here, Savannah. And he said to the disciples, to those who were listening to him, he said, you need to change. What Jesus told those disciples is that they needed to repent. They needed to change their thoughts and their way of behavior, their way of thinking and acting. The Gospel of Mark says that Jesus took this child up into his lap, and that child sat, and Jesus said to the disciples, unless you become like this child, you don't know what it is to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we might misunderstand what that means. We think sometimes how wonderful, pure, how beautiful, how innocent children are. And yes, that certainly can be the case. But it's not the case of all children, because we are born into sin. We are sinful human beings. Jesus wasn't saying to the disciples, oh, be cute like one of these. Be innocent like you think they are. What Jesus was saying was something important and something different for them to hear. Become like a child, first by repenting. Repenting of the thinking that you are the first and the greatest and the most important, that you've given up so much that you seek to be first, that you've done so much that somehow you are elevated in God's impression of who you are. Repent of those things, because that's not what it means to be a child of God. Thank you, Savannah. You can go back to your seat. What Jesus said instead, as he looked at this little child, is that I want you to be like a child in their faith. Think of the childlike attitudes and impressions that would be ones that we should emulate. Well, I've mentioned the first one, and that's repentance. The first thing it is to be a child of God, the first thing it is to be great in the sight of God, is to be willing to repent. We just talked about it in Bible class just a few moments ago before the service started. Repentance means to be going in one direction. And the Hebrew idea of repentance is then to turn around 180 degrees. You see, what we often do is walk away from God. And what God calls us to do, what God does in us that we can't do by ourselves, is he turns us around. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we can repent and we turn and follow and face God. Those first disciples needed to repent because of who they thought they were and how great they thought they were. The first step in being great in God's eyes, great in the kingdom of heaven, is to repent. Secondly, a child that we should emulate is a child of humility. When you stop to think about it, little ones especially, like those that came to the children's sermon a few moments ago, those children are humble. They're humble because they come knowing that they don't possess, that they can't do it all. They don't have it all together. They do need to learn. Maybe we can think of it this way. When we come humbly before God, we come with our hands open. It's not what we bring to Him, but it's that He allows us to come. He calls us to come, and then in our open hands, He places His goodness, His grace, and forgiveness. As we stand before the cross, we stand knowing that we can't accomplish our own salvation, but what God does is allows and calls Jesus to take our place. He humbled Himself, what does Philippians say? To the point of death, even death on a cross. He had equality with God, but He didn't count it as something to be grasped. He opened His hands and He humbled Himself before His Father for our sake, for yours and mine, and the sake of the world. Jesus calls you and me, brothers and sisters, and I think He was calling those first disciples to come open-handed, empty-handed before God. Not what we bring, but what He gives to us and how He fills us. To be a child of God, to be great in God's kingdom, is to turn around from our sin by His goodness and grace. By His goodness and grace, He fills our hands and gives us the opportunity to live as His humble children. God calls us to be like a child who's trusting. When a little one, especially a little one, comes to their parents, they trust their parents. Mom and dad says this or says that, says yes or no. They give an explanation, and for the little ones, it's easy for them to trust. They don't know any better. They don't think any differently. It's not that they're filled with their own experiences, their own ideas, their own choices. It's when they get older that that happens. It happens to children, and it happens to adults too. We're so intent on looking at our own ideas, our own suppositions, our own presuppositions, that we fail to trust God. And He calls us to humble ourselves and to trust like a child. That's what it is to be great in the kingdom of God. And finally, you see on the screen, obedience. When children are little, when mom and dad say do this or do that, they're innocent enough that they do what it is they're told to do. And when they do that to please their parents, to please mom and dad. God calls us, brothers and sisters, to repent, to humble ourselves before Him, to trust in what He does for us and through us and among us. And then He calls us to obedience, to follow. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, He enlightens and sanctifies us and keeps us in the faith and helps us to be the followers of Jesus that He calls us to be. God blesses us as we come to Him, as He comes to us, and as He calls us to live in obedient ways. This is what it is to be a humble child of God. And what Jesus told those first disciples, and what He needed to continue to tell them through His earthly ministry, one of the last things He told them before He died and rose again and ascended to heaven, is that greatness by God is counted in a different way than the world counts. God calls us to change. He calls us to be like a little child, to repent, to be humble, to trust, and then to obey. And as we do, He blesses and guides and keeps us. It's His intention to welcome us, just like He did the little one from our text, into His comforting care, into His almighty arms, into His protective love, as we seek to come to Him. May God bless you then, brothers and sisters, as fellow children of God. May God's Spirit work among us and in us and through us, individually and as a congregation, as a people here, that we might be called by His Spirit to be living, loving children of God, to be repentant, to be humble and trusting and obedient. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who calls us to be His humble and great children. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.